Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can so freely come this morning and just worship you. Lord, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning just to speak to us this morning in a new and fresh way, Lord. Lord, we praise you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you're so loving, so merciful, so beautiful. We thank you for the very character of who you are, Lord. We thank you that you're so trustworthy, dependable, reliable. Thank you that we can so freely just relate with you this morning. Lord, as we open your word, we give it the right place in our heart. Lord, would you just plow up our hearts this morning, and would you speak this morning? Would there be less of me and more of you? As we open your word this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you're visiting this morning, it's a nice big warm welcome. And we pray that you feel right at home. I know I was a little bit warmer down with you than I am up here. So if you are a little bit fresh, just go around the peripherals and warm yourselves up. It has been one of those fresh weeks, hasn't it, where it's like I don't even know if we saw the sun yesterday, but that's okay. So if you're a little bit fresh, just go around or cuddle your loved one and we pray you feel right at home this morning. Last week I started a little message that I want to continue today. And I don't know about you, but at different times in my life, there's been I've been in need of God's reviving power just to come over me personally, and you may be in the same predicament as me at different stages of your journey, and we pray that you just feel part of the message this morning. So a little bit of background by way of introduction for those that were not here last week. So we're in the book of Ezekiel. And it's at this time where the Israelites have found themselves in this place of sinfulness, and they're in this place of rebellion, and it's a divided nation. The nation of Israel has been divided into two kingdoms. You see, you got the northern kingdom, the northern kingdom called Israel, and the southern kingdom called Judah. And because of their rebellion and their disobedience, the Babylonians, they've come in and they've attacked the city of Jerusalem. They've destroyed the temple. They've taken the Israelites into this place of captivity. And Ezekiel is one of those first ones that have gone into a place of captivity in this foreign land of Babylon. And throughout the book, there's a number of things that are identified is that everything that the Israelites had put their hope and put their trust and confidence in has now been destroyed. And then the word of God says that they are a dead people, and then that they are a dead nation. And as I said last week, there's this wrestle that goes on, not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual realm. Is there's this wrestle between life and death. Life and death. You know, and there's this wrestle that goes on. And so this morning, would we be ones that recognize that wrestle and choose life? And choose life every single day that we are alive. And you see that there's this wrestle between life and death. And this dead nation, this dead people, they're in desperate need of the reviving power of God. And so we pick up the story, Ezekiel Chapter 37 and verse 1, it says this: "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And so I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. You see, last week's title, we were talking about prophesying to the bones. You see, Ezekiel, he's found himself in this valley of dry bones, and God's asked him, now I want you to prophesy to these dry bones. And then God caused this rattling to take place. And the bones, which were once disconnected, dislocated, have been joined together. You see, it's our body, it's the body of Christ coming back together. But the verse ends with this, that there was no breath in them. Is that these dry bones, they have been reformed, but they had yet to be revived. There was no breath inside of them. Is that they had the appearance of life, but they had no life inside of them. You see, you and I, as sons and daughters of God, we're not designed just to be reformed. We're actually designed to be revived, and God wants to revive us. You see, when he reforms us, he wants to revive us. And I don't want to live a life where I have the appearance of life. And everything looks great on the outside. And I look like I've got it all together, but everything's breaking down internally inside of me. You see, I don't want to just have the appearance of life. I want to have the breath of God's Spirit, of God's life inside of me. And so let's go on. This is part two today. Part two. So we'll pick up from verse 9. Verse 9, and God, now speaking again to Israel, he's saying this. And so the title this morning is Prophesy to the Breath. And so verse 9, it says this. He said, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You see, is that initially God tells Ezekiel, would you prophesy to these bones? And God's great miracle working power, it comes, and they're joined together. But now God asks Ezekiel, gives Ezekiel another instruction. He says, now would you prophesy to the breath that they would be able to be revived? You see, the definition of revive, it actually means this. It means to be becoming or making alive or making active or flourishing again, to bring back into renewal. You see, it talks about something that was full of vitality, full of life, that has died over a period of time, and the reviving power of God says to those things which have died prematurely, would you come back to life? You see, and I wonder what areas in my life, I wonder what areas in your life have died prematurely, that God wants to breathe the breath of life over those things again. You see, now don't get me wrong, I understand that there's things that we need to die to. But there's also some things I believe that potentially die prematurely, that if God was to breathe again, he would breathe life into that area. You see, a man once asked, okay, until I'm a teacher, can't you? A man once asked this question. He said, how do you see revival? How do you see revival? You see, and the story goes that he went and grabbed a piece of chalk, and I went in my home yesterday and tried to find a piece of chalk, and I didn't really want to drive out to school to bring home a piece of chalk. Ah, the cubby house, there you go. Well, he grabbed a piece of chalk, And he drew a circle. So just figuratively, imagine I'm drawing a circle with chalk that I've got out of the cubby house. Okay? He drew a circle on the ground. And he said to the person asking the question, he said, would you stand in the middle of the circle and would you start crying out to God? Would you revive me? Would you revive me? Would you revive me? Would you and I, would we begin to prophesy to the bones that would come back together where things have been disconnected, where things have been dislocated, that would join back together? But would you cry out for the breath of God to come back inside of you and into each and every single area of your life, that God would revive you and revive you? You see, we can never see corporate revival unless we first experience personal revival. See, would you allow the breath of God to breathe again? You see, I don't want to have the form of life, but have no life in me. I don't want to just be reformed by God. No, I want to be revived by the presence of God. And so God says to Ezekiel, he says, prophesy. Prophesy to the breath. You see, I don't know why it's this two-step process. You know, it could have been so easy for God just to join the bones together, to breathe the breath of life, and then go out, and then they go out as a great army. You see, but there's always a pattern to God. You see, we see it back in creation. It's a two-step process. You see, God formed man. He fashions man. But he never leaves you and I just as an empty shell. The second step is he now breathes. And breath comes into you and I. He breathed the breath of life into mankind. You see, become a living, breathing person. He's saying to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy formation of these bones. But now I want you to prophesy again. I want you to prophesy to the Spirit of God, the breath of God, to come back into these bones, that they would live, that they would come back to life. You know, and this morning I want to prophesy to each and every one of us, including myself and those that are online. Would you start to prophesy the breath of God inside of your life, that he would revive us? Would he just revive us? You see, we can step inside of our circle, because prophesy, it actually means to reclaim God's message, God's good news, God's word. You see, and then this part of prophecy is grabbing hold of the word of God that's living, that's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And inside your circle, would you grab the word of God and start declaring to certain situations that are in front of us that may have died, you know, different areas of our lives? And would you start prophesying and speaking forth out of that place of relationship with God? You see, the first prophecy was to the bones, that they would be brought back to connection again, brought back into a place of not dislocation, but connection. But the second part is this prophecy of life. It brought strength. It brought vitality. It brought this revival over the hearts and communities, the hearts of humanity. And I pray that you and I, we would prophesy the breath of God. Would you jump inside your circle? And would you start declaring, would you start speaking forth to those situations? Would you start declaring the word of God? Would you start speaking forth? You know, say, revive. Would you speak again? You see, the enemy, he wants to shut our mouth. To shut our mouth. See, Proverbs 18 verse 20, it says this. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, this little thing here. You know, this little thing that remains hidden for the most part. But when it makes its presence known, it has devastating power. You know, you and I, we both know it. We've seen it. We've observed it. It has the power to create life. But it also has the power to bring death. I wonder what's coming off our lips. What are we declaring? Are we building life? Let's be ones that build life. And I pray that you'd start declaring the word of God. We prophesy the breath of God. You see, as I considered this passage of Scripture, Ezekiel, thousands of years ago, there's this dead nation, dead people. You know, I actually think this passage of Scripture is so applicable to our generation in which we live right now. You know, if we look around about the world right now, we're still in the midst of a global pandemic. And there's this virus that's attacking individual lives. And its assignment is to affect the respiratory system of humanity. You see, it's a virus that actually causes people to lose their breath. You see, in hospitals, you know, Australia, we've been so fortunate as a nation. But in hospitals, you've got people who are attached to a respirator in order to have life. And as I read through this passage of Scripture, you know, it's for us right now, because the enemy wants to steal physical breath out of our humanity. You see, that's what the virus is trying to do. But I see from the beginning of time, from the fall of mankind, is that we have an enemy. You know, the devil. And he is real, and his purpose is to eliminate the breath of God, the Spirit of God, from believers. And so you and I would never experience the fullness of God. You see, there's the attack on the breath of humanity, both spiritually and physically. And I pray that you'd jump inside that imaginary circle and you'd start prophesying to the breath. The Spirit of God, the strength of God, the vitality of God, the reviving power of God to flow inside of me. We read that verse again in verse 9, and he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. You see, God's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the breath. And the breath of God is going to blow from every corner. It's going to blow from the north and the south and the east. And it's going to blow, and it's going to fall upon everyone. You see, God, we want your breath. We want to have your breath, your spirit in motion from every area right across our globe. And verse 10, and so I prophesied. You see, would you and I, would we put ourselves in a place of obedience? And when God asks us to do something, we would be obedient. Because I found this is God's able to accomplish what he says he's going to accomplish when you and I are obedient. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So firstly, breath came into them. Secondly, or the second thing, they lived. The third thing, they stood to their feet. And then finally, they were like an exceedingly great army. When you and I allow the breath of God to come inside of us, it has an incredible impact on our lives, but also on the lives around about us. So this morning I want to drill down into these four things that took place and will take place when you and I prophesy to the breath. Is the breath came into them, the breath of God, the Spirit of God came into them. Whenever you and I see the words breath or wind or spirit in the Old Testament, it's a Hebrew word called ruach, meaning air in motion. And here in verse 9 of this chapter is that ruach is mentioned four times. The wind, the Spirit of God. And then as you go into the New Testament, the word for spirit is the word pneuma, where we get the word pneumonia, because it means emotion or means breath, that means life. And so whenever you see these words in the Word of God, it actually means movement of His breath across the land that you and I. You see, we are utterly dependent upon the breath of God. You and I are utterly dependent upon the Spirit of God, because the breath gives us life. Is that you and I cannot live without the breath of God. Is that we're so dependent upon God. Is that breath is life. If you and I have no breath, we have no life. You see, when you and I were born, we started to breathe. Is that we have life. But when we breathe our last breath, we die, because breath contains life. And where there is no breath, there is no life. And so breath is life, and God breathed is God life. Would you prophesy to the breath, to the God breath that would come deep inside each and every one of us and put us in this place of overflow? You see, researchers, they say on average, a human would take somewhere between 12 to 20 breaths per minute. 12 to 20 breaths per minute. And I reckon right around the room, some are probably getting their watch out and counting their breaths even just now to say, how many do I actually breathe in a minute? But between 12 and 20 breaths, you know, and I did it, don't worry. Sometimes throughout the week, I actually stopped and counted my breaths, you know, 12 and 20, somewhere in that space. So that's like between 27,000 and 28,000 breaths on any given day. You know, and if you're like me, you can kind of take your breath for granted. You know, it's most of us, we're not actually aware of it. You know, we become aware of it when we're out of breath. You see, but the same thing takes place when God places His Spirit breath inside of us. When God breathes over our lives, I've found at different times in my life that I've also taken the breath of God for granted. And I pray that you and I, we would never, ever take the breath of God and our own physical breath for granted. You know, it's been quite a while. On Friday evening, there's a group of young people that go to the golf club, and we have dinner together. And the other night, I was talking to Nick and just talking about me not having to relocate or travel for work lately. It's been great. I haven't had to travel anywhere for work. I haven't had to have nights away, and it's been great. It's been the longest stretch that I haven't been on a plane for. You know, but I still remember, you know, the safety instructions before you take off. And they say, in case of an emergency, an oxygen mask is going to fall from the overhead compartment, and we'd ask that you securely fix it to your face before assisting somebody else. You see, that's really good advice. You know, I remember sitting there and going, if I had my kids here, I'd probably put theirs on before I put mine on. But when you think about the advice, it's really good advice. It's really good advice because of this, is that if you and I can't breathe, we can never help someone else breathe. And it's the same with the Word of God. If you and I don't have the breath of God inside of us, we cannot allow or enable someone else to have the breath of God inside of them. And so would you and I, would we enable, or would we put our oxygen mask securely on and allow the breath of God to come inside of us? You see, you and I are not designed to live off the oxygen of our circumstances. We're designed to live life off the breath of God. And he prophesies and he says, breath, come into them. And we can see the breath of God from the beginning of this book to the very end of this book, and we can see that the breath of God from the very beginning of your life to the very end of your life is that the breath of God sustains us. And we see the first mention of this word, the ruach, the wind, the breath, the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the earth. Then God said, or God breathed, let there be light. And there was light. You see, the breath of God will always cause life to come. And we see this pattern over the next 5 days of creation is that whenever God speaks, whenever God declares something, it brings something into being. You can see it on day 2, God said, and it was. Day 3, God said, and it was. Day 4, God said, and it was. Day 5, God said, and it was. We see this pattern in the Word of God, is that whatever God says, whatever He speaks, whenever He declares, whenever His Spirit breathes, things come to life. He said the same thing to Ezekiel, that over these lifeless bodies, would you start declaring, would you start speaking again? Would you and I, would we get inside our circle? Would we start declaring the breath of God? Would you and I start declaring that those God needs? Would we start speaking forth? But then we come to day 6 and the pattern changes. I want you to see this, is that on day 6, God does not speak. God doesn't speak. He forms man. You see, over the preceding day, God speaks life and life comes. And on day 6, Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You see, as on day 6, everything changes over the previous days, is God has not made contact with his creation. He simply has declared something and it's happened. But day 6, he bends down. He gets the dust from the ground. He fashions you. He forms you and I. And there it is, you and I. But then God does the next process, the next thing. He breathes the breath of life inside of man. It says, and man became a living being. The thing that separates you and I from every other aspect of creation is that we contain the breath of God. Is that you have the breath of God inside of you. Is that God would form you, but He'll always fill what He forms. And we see this incredible characteristic of God out of this passage of Scripture is we find two things. Number one is that God is a former. And number 2 is that God will always fill what He forms. You see, over each and every one of our lives is God has formed us, but He has also filled us. Could you dare to believe that God would position you, whether you have dead bone areas in your life right now, whatever you need reviving in different areas of your life, would you dare to believe that one of your innermost being, out of your innermost being, flows rivers of living water? Is that God will refuse to keep you empty. If you are hungry and thirsty, He will fill you. Prophesy to the breath. You see, everything God forms, He fills. He's a former, but He'll also fill us. You see, I get this picture. Every year at school, we have to do CPR training. And you get the dummy out. You know, and thankfully, I've never had to do it on a kid at school. But, you know, like, the process is, I'll exhale into this dummy. And that will bring life. Or they inhale. Or it's a bit like this. You know, this picture. You see, as God exhales, our response is to inhale. You know, and over the 37 odd years of my life is that God has continually exhaled. And he's given me the ability to inhale and take another breath. And would you prophesy to the breath of God over those dry areas of your life that the Spirit of God would come again? Is God exhales and we inhale. You see, how are we living in response to the breath of God coming inside of us? You see, Psalm 150, it puts it so perfectly. It says these words, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." You see, that's the posture. That's the response to God exhaling and breathing the breath of life inside of you and I, is that in every situation, no matter where we find ourselves, let everything that has breath, you see, everything on the very best of days and everything on those not so good days, that they'll praise the Lord. You see, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You see, my challenge to each of us, myself included, is that what am I doing with the breath that God has placed inside of me? Would you breathe again? You see, the second thing that takes place when you and I prophesy to the breath is it says they live. You know, and as I mentioned last week, is that there was a theme that flows through every God valley that we find ourselves in. And the theme in the valley of the dry bones is the theme of they shall live. They shall live. You see, God declares it three times over the people. You shall live. And I don't know what you're facing right now. You see, I don't know where you, the relationship you find yourself in, or the business issue that you find yourself in, or that diagnosis that you're carrying around. You see, I don't know. But what I do know is that God's declaring you shall live, or that shall live. Would you prophesy to the breath again? Allow the Spirit of God that He would come and come into the void areas of your life and cause life to come again. John 6 and verse 33 says this, Jesus speaking, He says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are spirit. They are full of life." You see, here Jesus is speaking, full of life. They shall live. The breath would come inside of us and we would live. Would you allow the Spirit of God to come alive in your hearts again? You see, the third thing that takes place as you and I prophesy to the breath is that they stood to their feet. You see, I find this remarkable, is that this valley of dry bones, is Ezekiel prophesies to these dry bones. They're just stacks of dry bones everywhere. He said he prophesies and the bones, they come together. It's muscles, it's sinews, it's tendons. They come upon them. Skin closes them, and now they're a stack of dry bones. They're a stack of lifeless humanity. There's no life in them. But when you and I would prophesy to the breath, is that you and I would now stand to our feet. See, when the breath of God comes inside of us, they were once dry bones. They had life inside of them. They are now positioned on their feet. They are poised for action. Though they're saying, "Father, I'm ready to be deployed. Whatever you need me to accomplish, I will accomplish. I'll be obedient." And as they stood to their feet, they positioned themselves saying, "Hey, Father, can you navigate my steps? Let your will be done," as they stood to their feet. You know, I remember at a 21st birthday, I can't remember if it was mine or one of the siblings, is that we were all there, and I remember Dad saying these words, "You can stand on your own two feet. You can stand on your own two feet." And he's saying, you now have the financial means, is that mum and dad, they've supported you for this season, but now you have to take hold of the responsibility. You have to navigate your own steps. You've still got to make wise decisions. You've still got to make wise choices. And here, when the breath of God comes inside of us, we don't stand independent of each other, but we stand in the presence of an almighty God, and we're saying, I'm ready to be deployed. You see, finally, they prophesied that became an exceedingly great army. You see, valleys of dry bones, valleys of humans without life. Now they stand as an exceedingly great army. You see, Ezekiel, he never experienced belonging to a community of believers. He lived in a time of a dead people, of a dead nation, totally isolated, totally separated from God. He'd never seen people stand shoulder to shoulder. He'd never seen individuals now corporately. The breath of God comes inside humanity, and the humanity would stand to their feet, just waiting for God's next instruction. God's breath to come over them and to move them. I pray that you and I, we would never take for granted, you know, what we have week after week after week. I pray that we'd never take for granted what takes place in the house of God week after week. Tobe, I'll get you to Communion Emblems Champion as we come to a bit of a close and head into communion. You see, this church, I said I've been here for 37, been alive for 37 odd years, but 30 of those, apart from when I was at uni, this has been my home church. Will we never take for granted what we have here week after week after week? The ability for us to stand and pray for a person that sometimes we don't know the incredible need of that individual. You know, sometimes we don't know what's taking place to the person sitting next to us. You see, Ezekiel has never seen a community of believers stand together with the breath of God inside of them. Don't take for granted what you and I, we get to experience and engage in with every week. Is the breath of God gets to be blown afresh into each and every one of us. Don't take for granted what we have, the ability to stand shoulder to shoulder. You know, no, never. The ability for us to actually outwork our church's mission statement of facilitating God's purpose in every life. You see, don't take for granted what we've got. So freely we can come. So freely. And I said this earlier, is that what God forms, He forms us, and then He fills us. And the last part of this process of God is God will form us, He will fill us, and He will cause us to have a function. Have a function. And so God, He took these dry bones, He formed them. Then He filled them with the breath of God. And now they stand in His presence as an exceedingly great army. You see, that speaks of function to you and I. Is that there's always a way through. The Word of God is this process that takes place. You see, God forms us. God fills us. And God gives us a function. You see, the sixth day He forms mankind. He gives breath. He breathes the breath of life. And then in verse 28, He says, then God blesses them and He says to them, be fruitful and multiply. You see, that's our function. Tone and the musos, I'll get you to come up. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Jesus now resurrected His and resurrected form. And the story goes, eight disciples have locked themselves in a room of fear of persecution and death. Thanks, Tobes. And Jesus comes and appears in the middle of them. You see, how awesome is that? He didn't come through the door. He just comes through the walls. And He finds Himself in this middle of this form of fear. And I pray that you and I would never ever shut the doors to the world around about us. And Jesus comes in the middle of that form and he says these words. He says he breathed on them. God exhaled. And he says, revive the Holy Spirit. He formed man. And he filled them. And he says to them, Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. You see, Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, exactly the same thing. They were in this form. They were in this upper room. And Jesus told them to stay there in Jerusalem until they're filled with the power. You know, some of them disappeared. You see, I don't want to be one of those ones that would disappear from the command of God. They're in this upper room, and then suddenly a moment of wind starts to blow. You know, fire appears on heads, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in tongues. They were in a form in the upper room, and God fills them. And immediately Peter goes out and he starts preaching the word of God. And thousands are added to the kingdom that day. So can you believe that God wants to form you? And he'll fill you. And he'll cause you to have function. He'll fill those areas of your life. You see, I get this picture of the army of God. I get this picture of the army of God as God breathed the breath of life inside of us. An army that loves God. An army that loves the world around about them. An army that's full of purpose. And Jesus says his mission was to come and to seek and save that which was lost. You see, you and I, each of us, we have a purpose. We have to go and make disciples. And the third thing that a soldier in an army has is they are full of power. Full of power. Would you and I take the power of God, the Spirit of God that's inside of us? Would we go and lay hands on the sick, see the sick healed? You know, would you allow God to exhale? Would you allow you to inhale the breath of God? You know, we stand to our feet as we come around communion. And this morning, and you don't have to, but would you stand to your feet and just breathe in? And as you breathe in, would you allow God to, would you allow God, as you inhale, just be saying, God, I want you to breathe afresh on me this morning. You know, and these emblems just speak of that ability to freely inhale his breath, the Spirit of God this morning. So as the team, they're just going to play a song. And as they play a song, would you allow God to breathe afresh on you this morning? And then would you partake together? And if you want prayer, feel free to come out. The team will be happy to pray with you. Stick around, grab a coffee, and have a blessed week. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you form us, you fill us, and you give us a function. Lord, would you, by your Holy Spirit, would you breathe afresh into each of our hearts and lives? Into those areas that sometimes seem dead and buried, would you breathe afresh? Lord, would you revive us? Individually, would you revive us? Would you empower us? Would you enlarge us? Would you speak into our hearts and lives afresh this morning? We praise you for who you are, Lord. We're so thankful for your very character, just who you are, and how we can just so freely have relationship with you. We're not disconnected, we are connected to you. Lord, would you breathe afresh? In Jesus' name, amen.